Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. It's your tradition to open presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Have you already had a lot of presents open? Are you waiting to go home and for the kids to go home and tear open those presents? We got all the presents galore these days, right? Everything's out there. Everyone's waiting to tear in to see what is there. The season's all about gifts, but today we look at the greatest gift, how God gives himself. The picture I like to think of this is, if you have ever seen some of the videos where maybe a father is out in the military and he's been gone for a few years, and he comes back a little bit early to surprise family. And so kids get home. They think dad's still really far away, still in the army, but there's this big box sitting in the living room. This big box that, oh, what is this? It's filled with wonder and what is inside, but dad. Opening up and getting that present is amazing. Probably the greatest gift that those kids could get, to see their father. You can think about so many gifts that you could get, but to see God, to see and to be in the presence of God, that's a pretty amazing thing. And this is what Moses wanted. This is what Moses was seeking. He wanted. He had some amazing things that here he is out on Mount Sinai and he's talking with God, but he kind of wants more. He wants to see God's glory. Why is he even up there is an important thing to think about. But God had already given his law, and he had announced it to his people, then written on tablets, and Moses had carried that down to the people. But when Moses comes down, what does he find? A golden calf. That the people had been released from slavery, from hundreds of years of slavery, and now are free. And God had done this, and God had given them commands to not worship other gods. And the first thing that they do is create another god. Imagine that. So Moses goes down and destroys those tablets, and he goes back up again, and he's going to receive God's word. But you can maybe imagine how Moses is feeling. He's been leading the people out. He saw these miracles, and now he wants to see God. He wants to see his glory, right? He says, now show me your glory. But notice what he says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. He then was going to put him in a cleft. He'll cover him with his hand, and he can only see his back, because no one can see his face and live. Can you or I see the glory of God? No, Moses could not either. And so we see how God reveals himself really in unlikely ways. Is this the way that Moses wanted to see God? He wanted to see his glory. God, show me who you are. Show me that you have power over these people and over me, and that you are who you say you are. But God says, no. I'm going to reveal myself in a different way. Not in my glory, but I'm going to tell you my name and show you my goodness. Think about that so often we want something grand and amazing, don't we? I think about atheists or people that struggle to believe in God. maybe someone who's really has never been a Christian, and they say, well, if God really wanted us to believe in him, wouldn't he just show himself to us? Wouldn't that be a great? Oh, God, just show yourself to us, and then it'll all be fine. What's the problem with that? Could we withstand seeing the glory of God in our sin in the way that we cannot stand in his presence? We don't deserve that. And in fact, God says, no one can see his face and live. It doesn't work. So instead of seeing God's glory, God shows himself in unlikely ways and what we might say is unimpressive ways. If you've opened up any gifts this week already, did you open up any gifts and maybe it was a big gift or a smaller gift and you open it up and you're super excited and then you open it up and you're like, huh, all right. Maybe it's another pair of socks or underwear. Or it's a little kid. That's not what I wanted. That wasn't on my list. You ever felt that way? Is that how we feel with the way that God reveals himself in these unlikely, unimpressive ways? Well, it's important to understand that the way he shows himself and the way he gives himself is necessary and important to us. It's the same way that sometimes when you get a gift and you don't know what it is, you don't know what it's used for, you're like, oh, that's a piece of junk, until someone explains it to you and shows you what it can be used for. And you're like, oh, all right, that's pretty cool. But sometimes we have to see what it's all about. Even though God's not showing himself in the most amazing way, we see how important it is how he shows himself. God says that he shows himself in his name and his goodness. What does that mean? This next section of scripture where God explains who he is as he passes in front of Moses proclaiming his name is a section of scripture that is repeated over and over again in the Old Testament. You'll hear it in sections quoted in the Psalms. But this is so much of the heart of who God is and his love for us. Listen to what it says in verse 6. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation. Notice the emphasis on who God is. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. This is Yahweh, that covenant God. The God who is mighty, but is relational. To even consider that he's relational in the Old Testament, it was hard to understand that. But here he is talking to Moses and explaining who he is. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That idea of love and faithfulness, the Hebrew chesed, it's this covenant love. This love that is faithful as it's translated. Love and faithfulness, or a way you could talk about it, is goodness in action. That God gives himself to us as goodness in action. This is what he says, that he's coming to us, not in glory, but in goodness and love. Notice we often talk about, we share love, share law and gospel, but notice what he does here is we hear law, that he's bringing justice and punishment, but notice he first speaks about the gospel, this goodness in action, the compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Well, how is God show his goodness in action? How could he both do these things of showing love to generations, to thousands and thousands, but also bring justice and punish people. How could that be possible? How does God show his love in action? But we hear that in John, the epistle of John, where it shows God showed us his love by sending his son. His goodness in action isn't just an emotion or a feeling you talk about in marriage or relationship. You might say, I love you, and you have that great feeling, but it's not just a feeling or an emotion. The greatest love is shown in action. And God sent his son. Notice what we hear in John chapter 1, that the law was given through Moses. We're in that section of scripture where God is giving his law, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. Notice, God gives us his goodness in action by sending his son, but then Jesus came to act. He came as a baby in the most unlikely, unimpressive way, in a way that many people look and say, in Bethlehem, from Nazareth, what good can come from there? And he was a man that didn't look impressive, but he came to save with love and compassion. And then when we look and we see that the guilty wouldn't be left unpunished, well, how is that possible if he's going to forgive the sins of thousands and thousands of generations by punishing his own son? That God loves you so much that this goodness in action is putting your sins on his own son. That justice was carried out. Because the truth is, when we hear what he says to Moses of punishing those guilty, we should fall under that, shouldn't we? Should we fall under those who maintain love, the ones that God should show compassion and gracious to? If we know ourselves, we know that we're guilty. We deserve his punishment, but instead we get his love and forgiveness through Christ. Through this unlikely Savior, through the hiddenness of God, that God could save the world through a cross and an empty tomb, all starting in a manger. What beauty we see of God's love in action as God gives himself for you. But no, it's not just done there. He gives himself still to you today. Think about all the goodness and mercy that is shown to Moses and to the people that Jesus was with, but God continues to do that. How did he come on Christmas? He came in the flesh. The Word became flesh. He took on body and blood. We talk about the incarnation. If you know a little bit of Spanish or Latin, carne means flesh. He took on flesh, body, and blood for you and for me to redeem us in body and blood. And how does he still come to you today? What do you get to take today? But come and receive his body and blood. To receive that forgiveness. And some might say, well, that's a very unlikely way, an unimpressive way that God comes to us, the eating and drinking. But God works his forgiveness. He gives that goodness that we need over and over again because I have been unfaithful while he has been faithful. And while we open presents and we say, we get tired of that toy after a few weeks, maybe a couple of minutes. The way that God comes to us might sometimes feel unimpressive. Today's a beautiful day where we have choir and a smaller choir and band, and it's impressive, isn't it? And church is full. Next week, will it seem a little less impressive? Maybe not any special music. Maybe not as many people here. But God still comes to you. Christ still comes to you daily through worship, through those unimpressive moments of reading the Bible, those unimpressive moments of talking with your kids about Jesus, of giving forgiveness, of when they're struggling, saying, Jesus forgives you. To hear that love of Jesus day in and day out, where it doesn't feel that impressive. But God comes to you through His Word, through His sacrament. Don't see it as unimpressive. Even though it's unlikely, even though we see it all the time, God has become flesh. To think how amazing it is that Moses just wished to see God. Wished to see His glory. And we know that Jesus came in glory, but yet muted. Muted because He was walking among people. Imagine if He was like He was in the Transfiguration, and I think even in the Transfiguration it was muted. But what do we get to look forward to? We get to look forward to see God in His glory. And we can stand in His presence in heaven because of what Christ has done for you and for me. That Christ came in flesh to tear down that barrier, to make you and me holy, forgiven, to give you peace and forgiveness now. That you can have it. That you know that you're forgiven, even though we don't deserve it. So that you can have peace and forgiveness and hope forever. Knowing that your Lord has come and given Himself for you. That gift might not look that impressive. But oh man, God giving Himself is the greatest gift we could ever have. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.